Star Wars in Character encourages you to help the fellow podcasters at Two True Freaks celebrate the conclusion of their Star Wars Marvel comic retrospective on Star Wars Monthly Mondays.
On June 3rd, we turn to the fight for freedom. In the name of adventure. All together now.
It's not over yet.
Chris Honeywell and Scott Gardner present the last chapter of the Marvel Comics Star Wars saga. All together now. With newly enhanced audio effects, THX and digital sound, and a few new surprises. Live the magic, experience the power, and feel the force one last time. On June 3rd, the last chapter in the Marvel Comics Star Wars saga. All together now.
Only at twotruefreaks.com.
That summer I was all about Dick.
This is Star Wars in Character, the podcast that takes a closer look at some of the elements that make up the Star Wars universe. Backstories. Histories. And details. You never knew, wanted to know, or ever need to know. Now here are this week's panelists of Star Wars in Character.
Today we are talking about CC2224.
You love saying that.
I do.
Everybody dance now.
What do you get, Tim? Yeah. Well, I'll tell you who that is.
Who is it, Chris? I don't know what those initials mean.
It's almost like this show might be scripted ahead of time, Dave.
Who would do something like that?
I can't imagine.
Line, please, line. Commander
Cody. That's a great take on sign, please, sign.
We're doing Commander Cody. Have you heard of him, Dave?
Commander Cody. Yeah, I know who Commander Cody is.
I'm Commander Cody, your new boss.
Commander Cody and his lost planet airmen. You know who that is, Tim?
Commander Cody and his lost... Wait. Yeah, there's a band from the 70s.
My pappy said, son, you're going to drive me to drinking if you don't stop driving that hot rod Lincoln.
That's Commander Cody. Did they name this guy after the 70s crappy band with this one-hit wonder?
No, I think they named him after... Well, I think Commander Cody is named after... There was an old serial back in the 50s. Yeah, there's a... It was actually... Yeah, Commander Cody, which was like the Rocket Man.
And it was a serial?
Rocket Man!
Yeah, back in, I would say, the 40s and 50s. It was like a sci-fi serial.
And you mean serial, S-E-R-A-I-L.
Yeah, not like chomp chomp.
Chomp chomp.
Is that what you do in the morning?
That's why I eat cereal.
My shred of wheat.
You made that sound dirty.
His lucky charms.
Shredded wheat.
Shredded wheat. Well, all right. Well, CC Music Factory 224 appears in episode 3. Say it like James Earl Jones, Dave.
Revenge of the Sith. This is Bell Atlantic.
Correct.
This is CNN.
Yeah, that's right.
Simba, you must avenge me.
Oh, I cried during that movie.
You cried during fucking Ace Ventura.
I cried while I was fucking Ace Ventura.
Can you feel?
Bang, bang, chitty, chitty, bang, bang.
Hi, ho.
All right, I wrote these names down months ago.
You haven't gotten past the names yet?
And now they make sense.
We're an hour into the show already.
All right, ready? My name is Dutch Chris Satine. Tim Moose, that is.
Yeah, I know what that is.
Did you say Dutch?
Dutch Chris.
Dutch Chris?
Rather than...
Pass the Dutch Chris on the left-hand side.
This episode, for my last episode of Star Wars in character.
Today I'm joined by 212th Mattack Battalion.
Mm-hmm. Are these all things from the cartoon?
It might be. I wrote this down over months ago. I don't really know what this shit came from. To my right, Darts Denor Dave.
Darts?
Darts. Some kind of Separatist commander who Cody was with or saw or drove past.
My question for you is always the same. Why do you write things down that you don't know what it is?
I did when I wrote it down.
No, it's just been we've been so lacking in having this show done.
I had did this one months ago.
Okay.
And this is the best one. And Tamora Morrison.
Okay, that one I know.
Tamora.
Finally.
I like that guy. He gave me a free picture and a kiss on the cheek.
And whoa. You picked the one with Mace Windu of all pictures.
I did. Well, the back of Mace Windu's head.
Which one?
Oddly enough, both. They both look the same.
Yeah.
Wait, no, I'm picturing like, you know how, like a side-by-side shot. Here's me, and here's the other thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm picturing it.
We all are.
We all are.
Don't feel bad.
We are now. I wasn't.
Tamora Morrison.
Yes.
Give us some facts about...
I'm Commander Cody, your new boss.
Your new boss.
My new boss.
Same as the old boss?
Now, Commander Cody, whose birth name is CC2224, he is a clone marshal commander, and he has been assigned to the 7th Sky Corps, a division within the 3rd Systems Army Unit.
I'm already bored.
Holy crap. Yeah. Does the 2224 mean that he's like the 2,224th clone?
I actually don't really know where those numbers come from. I don't know how they're designated. IBM maybe came up with the system, but I'm not really sure.
CC for Commander Cody.
I thought clone commander.
Clone commander.
I thought creepy child.
I think clone commander 227 is that Black Family House.
Yeah,
who's in that show?
That was the. Jack A.
Jack A. And the other who's the other one who's famous?
Well, there's no men like clones.
You know the 227 theme?
Yeah, come on.
Okay.
Who doesn't?
With family around you, you're never alone. No need
to
roam.
I like how you describe 227.
Because there ain't no place like, better believe it, ain't no place.
I don't know. Holy shit.
I like how Chris describes 227. It's the Black Family House.
Well, I didn't even catch that till this time around. Oh, and I almost spewed again.
Everyone
I was taking a drink. Yeah,
227. I just didn't know what who was in it. Who would actually
the Black Family House?
Black Family, Jack A.
Oh, Mary.
They're doing 227 in character scene with me.
Yeah. It'd be a great show.
Predator was on that show a couple times.
I think Luther Vandross was on there too.
Luther
Vandross, the Black Pavarotti.
He was fat, then thin, then fat again, and then dead.
Who's that guy who has that mole?
Mole?
Oh, that's Ivan Neville.
Yeah.
No, the guy's a mole. That was the kid from Wonder Years and Austin Powers.
A mole.
We better get back on track. We upset someone for not talking enough about the character a few episodes ago. Sorry.
It's a movie factory. Everybody needs to go to him.
Yeah, I'm not sure where the 2224 comes from. I'm assuming the CC is clone commander because they do actually, the Kaminoans do actually breed their commanders. They go through, I guess they come out of a different type of fluid. But he is a clone marshal commander, which is, that's like the highest rank that a clone can get. I guess he's second only to his unit commander, which was Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Obi-Wan.
So Obi-Wan was his direct boss.
Do the clones, do the clone commanders come from like a pure strain of the original DNA than like just the lackeys? Or is it like what makes him have that special juice?
I guess they go through different programming, like, and probably, and I would think also different types of training to be a clone commander. He, because it says here, I'm reading my notes. I wrote these notes down like a month ago, so I'm catching up just as you guys are.
Do it, Tim. I just love this song.
You're getting off topic.
I go.
But yeah, I wrote down here, he started life as a clone specifically programmed for leadership positions. So they do get a different training than your standard foot soldier.
Okay. So so they after they're born, they can be programmed to be whatever. Like, you're going to be a commander, you're going to be a dishwasher, a potato peeler, or something like that.
I'm
like
Commander Cody, your new boss.
Or I guess so. I guess, like, if they needed a cook, they would just, you know, put Julia Child's Joy of Cooking in their programming, and they'd be all set.
Technically, no.
Is this like Demolition Man, like when they're in their maturation chambers or kind of fed this programming for their particular lot in life? I know Demolition Man was different. It was rehab, and Sylvester Stallone somehow learned how to knit, but is it that type of thing? Like once they gain sentience, do they kind of have this knowledge, this talent to command because of the way they're raised in this thing, maybe?
I would think so, yeah.
I'm sorry, did I bore you?
No, I was Commander. No, yeah, I would think so. Yeah, they just, I guess they're bred differently. They put just a little bit more amino acid in their fluid tube, and their training is different.
I'm going off track here again, but when we ate at Planet Hollywood, remember we used to sit underneath the frozen Stallone?
Yeah,
there was a frozen Stallone at every Planet Hollywood,
and you can see his cheeks and his taint sometimes.
Yeah, he used to be like, pass the salt. Look at his balls.
Ball sack. Now, he was cloned with one of the earliest batches, but Cody did not fight in the first battle of Geonosis.
Clankers!
he was initially a captain, but I guess when Obi-Wan went to check out his troops there in the 7th Sky Corps, he used his Jedi ability, and he could sense potential in Commander Cody and recommended him for a promotion. And it was at this time that he was made a Marshal Commander.
On Obi-Wan's behest.
But that's a strange jump. He was a captain, and then he leapt all the way up to basically second or third in command. Like, whoosh, bam. I like that guy. Make him my buddy.
Can the other clones, do they have the ability to feel jealousy and sense, like, nepotism and that kind of stuff? Or are they, like, I'm still hazy on the whole clone thing. Like,
wow. I mean, yeah. I was gonna say, how's it nepotism? Isn't the entire clone army based on nepotism? Because they're all related. Because they're all the same. I think something just popped in my head trying to figure that one out.
On the Clone Wars, we do get to learn a little more about the clones during the animated series, but it's hard to tell. Like, if there's jealousy, I know that that there are some clones that are like kind of like bad batches, and for different reasons. Sometimes they have like physical, you know, mutations, or in other times it's like the wiring in their head has gone wrong. I think the ones that might be on the lower level, knowing that they were trained to just be foot soldiers, if they're allowed a certain amount of free thought, I would think that they would get kind of pissy at their lot in life, knowing that they're basically been bred to die.
Yeah, like they're pawns.
Yeah.
So that's the thing. The whole clone thing, I think, was handled pretty well in the movie. Although I still think it's scarier, even though we've come to grow up and kind of find the stormtroopers as being bumbling, and we make fun of them. Turn that shit off right now.
Good.
I'm not talking over that.
You better not. It's a good song.
Like, we've come to make jokes at the guy hitting his head and the stormtroopers and stuff. But when we were little, the stormtroopers were scary because they were faceless. Like, you didn't know what was under there. We didn't know there were people under there. And when you see Luke and Han wearing that armor, it's kind of like unsettling because they were a mystery and that made them scary. I think the clones and taking their helmets off was kind of a mistake because it gave them personality.
Right. Like,
they were scarier when they had no personality and they were mindless. And that, to me, is frightening. That cartoon really, I think, did it a disservice when didn't they, the ones I saw anyway, they gave them all little personalities and like this guy had a shaved head, this guy had lines in his hair.
Yeah, and there's one Tim, huh, that had like Down syndrome?
No.
Well, not Down syndrome, yeah.
Was that Commander Corky?
there was an episode, Tim, even you said that it was sad. It was like an
emotional one. Yeah, there was 99. He was a malformed clone. He was part of a bad batch, and he was kind of quirky. Yeah,
I think giving each of those guys, like, I know the one, like, they didn't have like tattoos, and I remember seeing some interview and was like, well, it's cool. They're even though they're clones, they can develop their own sense of individuality, and I think that's a mistake as far as trying to make those guys a frightening force, because
I don't know. I disagree. So there. I disagree. I think what it is, especially with the animated series, not so much with the movies, because they didn't, the clones, they didn't give them enough time to have any sort of quote character development for those guys. But on the animated series, you get to know them, and it's sort of unsettling because, as you know, down the road, when you see Order 66 in the movie. In Revenge of the Sith, you got to know all these guys, and you got to see Commander Cody fighting alongside Obi-Wan Kenobi, and you got to see Obi-Wan Kenobi putting his life on the line for this guy, or for whoever the Jedi is with the clone, and to see this development throughout. And then all of a sudden, Palpatine flicks a switch and basically turns them into mindless drones, and you've come to know these characters, and all of a sudden they're turning on the person that laid their life down for them several times. I think that's much more unsettling than just thinking of the stormtroopers. While the stormtroopers, when we originally saw them in Star Wars, were frightening because you knew nothing about them. But I think it's for the prequels, it's unsettling because you know so much about them that to see them turn is sad.
So you're saying, because that switch will be thrown, the personalities made that even more disturbing when the switch was flipped.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, on Clone Wars, you don't see Commander Cody as much as certain other ones. I know Captain Rex was like the big one that was in like almost every episode. But yeah, you see this camaraderie between the Jedi's and the clones. There's a certain level of respect between the two, and it's really sad. I mean, and we bring up the Coyote Mundi scene from Order 66, and while we don't necessarily know those clones specifically that are following him, but you can tell that those clones and him have a history. He trusts his clones to no end, and then all of a sudden he gets there, he turns around and realizes they're no longer with him, and they're actually in 10 seconds time, they've gone from getting his back and willing to die for him to switching around a complete 180 and are going to stop at nothing to kill him.
You think the Emperor had other orders programmed in these guys for like other career moves? Like, in case he got overthrown before he became Emperor, he'd take them all to like a casino planet, do a hypnotist act, and do Order 55. You are all now chickens.
How does he do that?
He is so good.
I wonder if there was like 65 other orders.
Yeah, why 66?
Yeah.
Order one, get me a beer.
What order 69 was?
I don't know. What do you think it was, Chris?
That's when he was really down and out and needed to make some money fast.
Yeah. I'll show you. Come here.
Clone's gone wild.
Woo!
The idea of clones at all, I think, is frightening. Especially if you don't know anything about them. So I think that's where I'm coming from. Like, even like they made that stupid Schwarzenegger. What was it about? The sixth day? Is that what it's called?
Oh, gee,
eighth day.
Whatever it was.
I only saw that once.
Anything that involves clones to me is instantly already a little bit creepy. In fact, my son, we were watching something the other day, and there was something about somebody cloned something. And my son, who's 11, turned to me with like fear in his eyes and said, "Dad, are they allowed to clone people?"
And then your second question was, "They're not going to clone Chris, are they?"
Can you imagine all that?
I could imagine if there was a clone of me. That's like twice as many people to fucking not get anything done. That's useless.
It's like multiplicity.
Right, yeah.
Well, Keaton, love him.
Yeah, like just the fact that it's cloned. Like he was seriously, as an 11-year-old kid, scared to death that is a reality in our world. And it is frightening. And the fact that these guys are clones scares me. Like, I'm not truly frightened, but
I'm more curious. I'm more curious what your answer to your son was. Was it, yes, in fact, you step over the line and yours is upstairs waiting to take your place.
What was that movie?
For years.
What was that movie with Ewan McGregor and Scarlett Johansson where...
The Bruckheimer movie, too.
The Island?
Yeah.
The Island. Yeah, now that's frightening, where you're being bred literally to be a organ donor for your original host.
Yeah, it's like my sister's keeper.
Yeah.
I know. I'll my organ.
Chris,
that's roughly...
I will. Happy to.
That's roughly the same concept behind Moon, too, where
Yeah.
Mm, this is creepy. Chris,
are you scared, Dave, a little bit?
I could use a little CNC Music Factory. Oh, man, I'm just kidding. Please don't play.
I won't. Dave, I did tell you the entire Christmas special revolves around clones, right? This year?
Oh.
Dance to the rhythm. Dance to the rhythm.
Find me a clone and make me another. Put another here and call him a brother. Take another clone and make me a beer.
So. Son, you're going to drive me to drinking if you don't stop driving that hot rod boga.
This video is cracking me up. I'm watching the video.
What else you got, Tim?
But, yeah, I mean, that idea of the terrifying clone, I guess, they sort of left that out of the Star Wars script, so we don't see too much of that. Unfortunately for some, unfortunately for others.
Oh man, that would have been an interesting. And this is like, this probably would never happen, but it just dawned on me. I don't know. You guys probably didn't read those two zombie-esque type Star Wars books, Death Troopers and Red Harvest.
I read, or I listened to probably the first third of Death Troopers.
I actually listened to it. Yeah, same thing. But if they're going to ever expand the horror genre, which probably won't happen now at Disney or any, but that would be interesting, a really bad batch of clones. They didn't have to be zombies, but like a bad batch of clones, they thought they shipped off in a ship somewhere, would be an interesting horror tale for a book.
It would be. I'd listen to that.
Yeah, me too.
Why isn't there any female clones? Anybody?
Well, if you can make people without women, what do you need women for? I got
nothing. Yeah. One of the earliest stories that we get in terms of Star Wars timeline that we see Cody is actually during the Clone Wars film. The Battle of Christophsis.
Did you see that, Dave?
The Clone Wars film?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
You going to watch it again?
I'm going to watch it with Matt.
That's right. That'll be the drunkest I've been in a long time.
You're going to watch it with Tim. You guys,
we are.
Do your commentary, and Matt and I will do ours, and ours will be much better.
With that.
For you? Well,
I use a word Chris loves, guaranteed. Guaranteed, much better.
I can't wait to hear Dave while he's watching Zero the Hutt on screen.
It's going to be it's coming soon.
The Battle of Christophsis, which opens the Clone Wars film, and there's actually even some episodes in the televised series that actually take place immediately before that. You see Cody in the earliest that we know him in terms of timeline, and it's during the Clone Wars series that we get to know these characters like Cody and Captain Rex and Wolf. There's a few others like Fives, Oddball, Heavy. You know, you get to know the clones, and Dave and I, we just talked about that and the pros and cons of knowing what's underneath the mask. While not prevalent in the series as thanks.
Is it a dance break?
I actually needed that for a second to catch myself up in the notes because I was jumping around when talking with Dave. I didn't want to go over the same stuff again.
That's all right. I haven't been paying attention. I never know.
Well, while not as prevalent in the series as Rex, Cody does show up from time to time. Yes.
All I got to say is if you watch this video, there's a guy, the black guy with tight, tight spandex underwear dancing. Continue.
I'll be sure to watch that video after we're done.
Watch it now.
For those who did not watch the Clone Wars animated series,
Dave,
most of our familiarity comes from Revenge of the Sith. He is probably the most spot-lit clone in the film. And we see him at several points throughout the movie talking and planning with Obi-Wan Kenobi. We see Cody mainly is leading the unit that comes to Cody and Kenobi. It's hard to say. Cody is leading the unit that comes to Kenobi's aid on Utapau when he's fighting Grievous. And it's when Kenobi drops his lightsaber, Commander Cody is the one who actually finds it and returns it to him.
He does thank him by name in that scene, if I'm correct.
Yes.
Okay. I think that's the only reason I know the name is from that scene, because it just seemed, I wouldn't say strange, it just was kind of surprising for him to name. They've been referred to for clones for nearly 2 hours at this point, and then all of a sudden he decides to drop a name on one of them.
Yeah, they don't really go into, I mean, I know like when the movie came out, different clones had different names. There was like Commander Gree, which I believe is the clone that Yoda decapitates. Mm. And there's a Commander Fox, I think, is another one.
I know.
But Cody is, I think he's the only clone that is referred to by his nickname, not just as a clone.
That all added to that stuff that like you were talking about, Tim, like to make us think as an audience, there's a history and he trusts him enough that this guy went and fetched his lightsaber and he's going out of his way to call him by his name. You know, like he means something to him.
Yeah.
To only then, how much later does he turn on him when he's riding that friggin' dinosaur?
Yeah, really.
Like it's not.
Yeah, and it's a real quick scene. And again, I didn't go back and watch Revenge of the Sith to figure out exactly when the placement of when Order 66 was first mentioned, and when Cody gets it, but. There's a quick scene when Kenobi returns on his boga after defeating Grievous, and for a split second, like he's about to go away, Kenobi's about to get away, and then Cody turns around, and we think at that split second that's when he's going to betray him, but that's when he gives him his lightsaber back.
Right.
He makes that move like he's going for almost like he's going for his gun, and we think I remember watching the first time I watched the movie, he's like. Like you breathe in for a split second because you think he's going to try to shoot him, but then he gives him his lightsaber and Kenobi just trots away on his lizard, and then we see right after that is when he personally gets the hologram from Palpatine. So did Palpatine have to call every single clone commander individually?
No, I think it was just one phone call to everyone got at the same time.
Yeah, I think he got one of those telemarketer dialers and just shot it out there.
Yeah.
Commander Cody.
Because you would think that if it took some time to call everyone, you know, people would warn other people, hey, watch out behind you, you know?
Yeah, I don't know, it's strange, because I do think he said Commander Cody. And without hesitation, I got to say Order 66 is the code word, like SALT, or like a sleeper agent.
Well, if it makes you wonder, if they went to like Dex's Diner, and someone said, hey, Order 66 is up. Do you think that would...
That clone just went ape shit inside the diner and just shot exactly. Everybody.
I don't know if that would have worked, you know?
Well, I don't know. Like, because you saw, like, the quote-unquote bonus content coming out for Clone Wars to wrap up the series. Yeah. There's a scene where a clone turns on the Jedi. And I don't know if someone actually says, hey, let's have Order 66. We'll have to wait and see what the story is there, but maybe that's the thing. If someone says Order 66 around a particular clone, he might turn like that. I don't know.
I wonder if the next series of Clone Wars is actually going to be Orders 1 through 65, like we were talking about earlier.
Yeah, that would have been great.
Let's try Order 17, the Banana Cream Pie Initiative.
That sounds yummy.
Oi, Palpatine, here you go with nuts.
I'm commanding.
Whoop, 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 why I order.
But yeah, and I'm wondering if, like, when they say that we're in Order 66, like, a certain level of your independent thought is stripped away. Because we see Cody, like, basically just go, oh, fire! Yeah. And they fire at Kenobi way up there in the upper levels of the lower levels of Utapau. I don't know where that is. after the Clone Wars, Cody, he lives a long time. He lives long into the reign of the Empire, and he actually becomes a stormtrooper commander. Like, clones were actually being phased out after the start of the Empire, which I never really quite understood that. When we started to see clones and stuff, I always then assumed that stormtroopers were clones as well. But it turns out that, nope, they were recruited and conscripted into service as stormtroopers.
Yeah, we kind of had that discussion when we did the stormtroopers. Like, we all kind of came to the agreement that by the time the original trilogy movies had come around, the stormtroopers consisted of humans who enlisted and maybe some clones that were left over. But by that time, the strain of DNA they were using was so diluted that they weren't necessarily like the clones that we had seen in the prequels.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So you're saying that Commander Cody eventually ended up wearing like the stormtrooper armor, like the
he eventually became like the leader of a stormtrooper unit of non-clones, and clones eventually would just start to die off either in battle or, you know, they'd get clone cancer or whatever and they just drop. But he found himself commanding an Imperial battalion on Kamino. So that was basically like that they kind of put him out to pasture because Kamino wasn't really doing much cloning. There wasn't really a whole lot of reason for him to be here. There was nothing really to protect. And they were kind of giving him like the doofus recruits. So they were just sort of sending him off to him.
Forky, right? Maybe.
Yeah, but this time these were by natural birth Corky and not cloned Corky.
What's that song, Matt?
That was
that song?
Oh, blah, da. Life goes on. Rah!
You're right. You're right.
I never watched that show.
Wilford Brimley with his diabetes.
Was Brimley on that?
Yeah, he was the grandfather. It was, what was it? Our House or something like that?
No, that was a different. You're thinking of Life Goes On with Chris Burke, but the Our House was a different. That was a different show, I thought.
Who the hell knows?
In the Force Unleashed video game, the Vader's Secret Apprentice, you know, Dara, what's his name? Dick Starkiller or whatever.
I like that name.
He goes to this Kamino cloning facility and just kicks the shit out of everything and just tears everyone a new asshole. And he wipes out every troop on Kamino. So it's presumed
you said tears everyone a new asshole and then wipes. I was like, where's this going?
And wipes it all over the wall. Spilled poop out of poop. It's weird. He could have at least wrote shit. But no, yeah, apparently, he kills the Starkiller kills everybody on Kamino, trooper wise. And so we assume that Cody was among the dead there. And that is our presumed end to the life of Cody.
So he doesn't have an official death, it's an assumed one?
It's an assumed death because he was on Kamino. Starkiller went there, killed every stormtrooper on that installation. So if he killed everyone, then Cody would have had to have been one of them.
Oh, yes, sir! Hmm.
And, it's a sad, sad, pathetic end.
Maybe he'll be one of those independent movies Disney keeps teasing about.
Commander
Cody. How fucking disappointing would that be?
And Dick Starkiller and...
Yaddle and Evan Peele, crime fighters.
Yaddle movie, man. Can you imagine that? Imagine that poster.
You and Tim would be first in line and on the red.
I would watch that. I thought. Oh, never mind.
What?
No, when I said Commander Cody and Dick Starkiller, and I said in, and I didn't give him a movie, and then Matt said Yaddle, and I was going to say, yeah, Devil Penetration.
Aye.
Yeah.
Matt, aye.
Ooh, that's green, and one guy's name's Dick, and the other guy's name's...
what the hell was that?
Yeah. Well, that's all I got on the characters. I have a little behind the scenes information. Portrayed by Tim Morrison in Revenge of the Sith. We all know and love T'Mora as the personification of Jango Fett. For those who were lucky enough to get one of our exclusive Jango Fett CDs, we talk in great detail and great love about, or at least I do, about T'Mora Morrison. I think that guy's such a cool dude. Nice guy. If you guys ever have the opportunity to meet him, if the line isn't too long, hop in that line. He's a good guy. Dee Bradley Baker is the voice of all of the clones in Clone Wars, with the exception of some of the kid clones that were done by Daniel Logan. But Dee Bradley Baker does all of the clones, so he was the voice of Commander Cody and everyone else.
What'd you say, Chris?
And as Dave had mentioned at the beginning of the show, he was named in tribute to the early 50s sci-fi hero Commander Cody from the Radar Men from the Moon serials. And the Commander Cody, the one we're talking about from the serials, was the inspiration for the look of the Rocketeer.
I was actually wondering if that was the serial we're talking about, except his helmet was like ginormous, right?
Yeah.
Ginormous Rocketeer helmet.
Yep. Commander Cody.
I love that movie.
So,
seen that Rocketeer?
Yeah. The Rocketeer.
Get the fuck out of here. Really?
I have never seen The Rocketeer.
You would love it.
I probably would, because I love that shit. That came out the summer of Dick Tracy.
Mm-hmm.
And if Tim loves Dick, he'll love that movie.
I was going to say, that summer I was all about Dick.
That summer.
That's actually, I just bought the Dick Tracy comic adaptation. So I think I'm going to make this summer my summer of Dick Tracy again. I'm going to read that the novelization and The Untouchables. I used to do that every summer from like 1990 to about 2002. I read the Dick Tracy movie novelization every summer. Bringing it back, babe, this summer. Dick Tracy, we'll talk about it. And that's all I got.
Wow. It ended with Tim's obsession with Dick.
Tracy.
Richard Tracy.
Matt, is your website about Dick Tracy or no?
Hold on, let me look at my notes here. Let's see, the voice of Admiral Ackbar. Oh no, that was for the other episode that never got asked. So not that site.
Let's see here. What was your website for Admiral
Ackbar? Never asked. That means something there.
I'm just busting Tim's balls.
Chris is the one that does that ask. He asked that question.
Yeah.
Good job, Chris.
What was your Admiral Ackbar website?
It's actually the same one I used for the Bib Fortuna one. That dude's voice is the interview with him on IO9.
Oh, okay.
It's freaky to watch him because he can still do the voice 30 years later. A guy's like 90 years old and he's still doing it like exactly like you remember it from Jedi.
The guy always sounded like he was 90 years old.
He did. Yeah, I guess so. I guess that's why. My site is I already forgot. Dave, you brought. Oh yeah, Dave, you brought up the Commander Cody guy, the singer.
Yeah.
Now, I was going to go ahead and use his website as my website. Because that'd be funny? But fuck no, I'm going to use his MySpace page. Because when's the last fucking time you ever went to MySpace?
Wow. There's actually a MySpace page?
There's a MySpace page for Commander Cody. Hell yeah.
Commander Cody and his Lost Planet Airmen.
That's right. And the last time he logged in was December 14th, 2009.
Whoa.
Is he dead?
I don't know.
No, he's still alive. I think he lives here in Nashville.
Tim, call him up.
Tim, call him.
We'll pick him up.
MySpace.com, if your browser recognizes it, / Commander Cody Band.
You can only see it on Netscape Navigator.
That's right. Yep. And you might have to log on to AOL first.
Search on Alta Vista.
What is the deal? You people, probably not everybody or too many people heard the T'Mora Morrison story from when you met them. Like you said, he was like super nice when he gave you, like you alluded to it. He gave you some kind of free picture or something.
That was after recorded. When we went to the last celebration, I brought Tim Morrison one of our little prize packs with the Frisbee in the bag and the CD of him. And he was like, oh, hey, come on. Hey, sit down. I'm going to talk with you. And we talked for a few minutes, not very long. And it wasn't really anything deep. And then he said, hey, won't you take a picture? And I And I picked out a picture featuring my least favorite character on the planet, Mace Windu, just about to decapitate Jango. And I have it hanging on my wall in my office at work. Hmm.
Now, when you guys get a guy like that, because I'm fascinated in your passion for autographs, not because I think it's neat, because I think it's bizarre, but what when you get a guy like that to sign your posters, do you get him to sign it as both characters?
Sometimes he writes down both names. Like a character might put down all the characters that they played.
I know he on the Attack of the Clones, he did write Jango Fett, and I know on my Sith poster he wrote Commander Cody.
Okay. So it's not like you don't have him on the same poster twice.
No.
Oh no.
Listen to you. No.
We have people who's on Broadway who isn't involved.
We have people that have never even seen a Star Wars movie that have signed our poster.
Right.
But okay. We haven't let them sign it twice.
I'm just curious, if they play multiple characters, does that mean they get on there twice?
No.
Okay.
One actor, one signature.
What a stupid fucking question, Dave.
Don't get all bent out of shape. I mean, I think that's a legitimate question.
I do remember Greg Proops. We were getting Greg Proops' autograph once, and he told us a story about how some kid had come up to him. He had all these multiple posters and things, and he was having Greg Proops sign the poster, and they give him another poster for him to sign. And the kid realized he had Greg Proops sign the same poster twice. He said the kid looked as if I had taken the poster and ripped it into shreds.
That's
taking it a little far. If I had an actor sign my poster twice, I'd feel stupid, but I wouldn't feel like the poster's ruined. A, because the poster's never gonna be owned by anybody but myself. And whoever takes it after I'm dead. So it doesn't really bother me.
I might take it to him.
It depends if it goes first.
I'm going to take it and sell it.
You should have had him sign your Speed 2 cruise control poster.
Give me what I need.
Or Couples Retreat. Wasn't he in that too?
Couples Retreat.
Yeah. 6 days, 7 nights.
He did a Major Blueberry film, but it's called something different. Major Blueberry is a French cowboy comic, and he played Blueberry, but yeah. I haven't seen it. I've been looking for it. It might be on Netflix.
Nate, too. You can borrow mine.
He looked like Blueberry as I've been sore in Green Lantern. Yeah. he seemed like a cool guy.
He's a nice guy. And he even hosted one of the celebrations, and he was like singing and dancing.
No, that wasn't him. That was Captain Typho.
I'm confused.
That was the eye patch guy, right?
Yeah.
No, I remember when we went to, I think it was Celebration 4 was the first time we saw him. I was actually nervous because he always plays like heavies. He's always like plays like a mean looking dude. And I was expecting to be like a total like just hard ass. And he was like super nice. He walk up, he's like, hello. And he puts his arms around you. I'm like, oh, my God. Yeah, he's hugging me.
Hello, Governor. He says, like, London.
Hello, Governor.
He's a Kiwi, right?
Yeah. She's New Zealand. Yep.
Play the Concords, baby.
But yeah, super.
Wow.
He's been
really?
In.
That's where you're going after that comment?
I was going to say Crowded House.
Don't dream it's over, Tim.
Don't dream it's over. I saw them a few years ago at the Ryman here in town. That was awesome.
Fucking koalas, baby. Jacko. No. Oi. Energizer.
That's a knife.
But yeah, Tim Morrison. Great dude. I think I've said that 1,000 times, but he is one of the nicest guys that we've met associated with Star Wars.
Nicest guy you give a handy to at Celebration.
I would, yep. Tim. Oi, oi, oi.
Tim dude does love dick, so you know.
I love Dick Tracy's.
His dick? All right.
If Warren Beatty asked, you'd touch him.
Warren Beatty, Robert Wool.
Robert Wool.
Well, Dave.
Yeah.
Is it time?
It is time. And I guess I have to take a moment here to thank Mr. Mac for getting me 5 points on that Admiral Akbar episode, right?
5 points. We all got 5 points that episode.
5 points. Thank you.
Yeah, so he really didn't do you any good.
Well, he kept me from falling farther behind you.
And this is our new song for the trivia. You like it?
Yay, trivia! Yay, trivia! Trivia.
Love that song.
Okay. Well, the scores go like this. Chris, you're in last with 14.
I'm doing terrible.
Then Tim with 30.
Woo!
I'm next with 39. Ooh. Not too far behind Matt, who has 42.
Christ. I have their chance. By the way, I win this if y'all die right now.
Wow. Yikes. And you'll take Tim's poster.
I will. And his Dick Tracy book.
With the, when he's probably got like footnotes all written on the side.
It's probably all stuck together.
Oh.
That's the picture storybook, please.
And it's not
flat top. The brow. Oh, prune face.
That's funny. All right, who's going first?
Well, Tim always goes first.
Yeah, all right. Matt, do you have the rope slicer
thing? I'm actually ready this time.
Okay.
159.
Ooh, I was almost there. 169.
159. Tim, you have 30 points when you hear the film title, which looks like it's going to be Empire Strikes Back. What are you betting, my man?
Is it Empire? Really?
No, I think it's Jedi.
I stand corrected.
Yes, Jedi.
We are recording this on the eve of the Jedi
anniversary. Yeah.
Anniversary. Tomorrow is its 30
years.
30th, yeah.
Which will have well since passed when this is released, so that's good information.
Last week it was its 30th anniversary. It's a good time.
What are you betting? Return of the
Jedi. Return of the Jedi, I'm going to say 4 points.
4 points.
4 points. Here it comes.
Princess Leia, was a what my Artu? Us, Batata Rondi, Darth Vader. And Jink of Eskimo, Kia Tundi Death Star.
Are you jealous, Chris?
Easy one. You motherfucker.
That's C-3PO telling his tale to the Ewoks.
I heard something just this week. Another podcast I listened to. They were saying that R2 was making the sounds. Did you guys always think that? Because I never did.
I always
thought C-3PO was making
so
the sounds.
So did I.
Was R2 even in the room?
He can do that shit.
Yeah. R2 is right there. Right. I thought that C-3PO was doing all the sound effects and storyline and everything.
To check the novelization.
He's sitting right in front of him in the picture with it, and he's like lit up like he is doing something. I never thought about it. Yeah. I always thought that scene was really, really cool.
It was cool.
Like, and the sound effects were the same. It's almost like whichever one of them is doing it is they're like the Predator. They can record these sound effects.
Turn around. Over here.
All right.
4 points for
Tim.
Tim
got 4 points for that really hard question that told you what scene it was from. All right, who's next?
Next is Matt.
Alrighty, 228.
Oh, that's 27.
No place like living next to the place like home.
Jack,
it's a Black House TV show.
Well, they all lived in a house, and the house was black, right? No,
it was brown.
It was a brownstone.
228, 236, 229.
This looks like Phantom Menace.
22. I think we had this because the picture looks familiar. I'll play it. I think we had.
Well,
this
you have to bet first.
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, it's from Sith. Yeah, Sith.
Do I stay true to my word? So many episodes ago.
Well, I think we already had this. So
okay. Well, fuck it. 5.
Okay.
I was actually trying to be dramatic, but you blew it there. So 5.
You blew it.
I like blowing things. All right, ready.
We did have this. This was for you.
Yeah, it was that big ship that Anakin and Obi-Wan crash land.
Yeah, I actually just heard this at the gym. The episode we had this on, it was Grievous' ship's crash landing.
Yeah. All right. Roll again.
227.
What's the matter, Dave?
He said 59. That's a low number. He's going to get it right. We need him to get prequel things. And
all right,
you listen to this when you work out? This show?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
You don't listen to Frank Stallone, Far From Over?
You guys are...
Good Lord, no.
Pissing me off.
What does he have?
He has a new hope.
Are you betting five again?
Yep.
Mm.
That's mainly because of Chris's reaction.
I know.
Yeah, you know, you don't make things any better.
I get boom, yeah. Crunching, and what ship is this firing? And I have to guess what it is.
Yeah, because that one I got of the stormtrooper hitting a tree was fucking easy.
Good point. Here it comes. Wow. Maybe the picture threw me off, but maybe... Maybe it's not as easy as I thought it was, man. I'm sorry.
I don't know. That's from New Hope?
Yeah.
Maybe play it again for him.
I can play it again for you.
It's pretty.
It is pretty. Come here, Dave.
It's the Death Star droid's erection.
It's very prog rock. It could be like Pink Floyd.
Yeah. Like it's way Alan too Parsons. Long and like one dimensional to be anything specific. So it's a background to something, but I don't know what.
Mm-hmm.
It says here, see the...
Don't say anything!
I thought Matt gave up.
No!
Okay.
He's thinking!
Go ahead, Seinfeld.
God!
He said he didn't know.
I don't know, the... I think it's one of the noises made up for the Death Star firing sequence. That's my guess, if that makes it feel what I'm saying.
That's a good guess, Matt, but that's incorrect.
Okay, then. Now you don't need to know what I'm saying, then, because I fucking ain't it.
It says here it's the tractor beam ambience.
Yeah. I thought it was some kind of background noise, but I would have never guessed that.
You know what's weird is the next photo is him pulling it down and turning it off, and that's what I thought it was.
I thought maybe it was, do you know on that, the firing sequence where the guy pulls like the little T-handle lever and there's a noise? I thought maybe it was that.
Oh, yeah.
But that was like a specific noise, so all right. Okay, well, that was a good question. I had to think about that. I like
you. Dave, you got it wrong, all right? You happy?
And I'm sorry I yelled at you. Hold me.
Come here. All right, Dave, you next?
Yeah, okay. I'm next. I'm in the lead.
246.
246. That doesn't bode well.
That's a high number, Dave. You're not going to like it probably, right?
But we all needed that to happen. We all needed Matt to get one wrong.
I need your order to start getting it wrong. Yeah, that I can get move up.
That puts Tim right back into it, too.
I'm back. Do it, baby.
You're back. Yeah, because right now Matt is 37, Tim is 34, and I have 39 without going. What movie am I dealing with?
I want to say A New Hope.
You want to say?
I want.
You said it was what, 247?
No, 246. Tim, go there.
246. That's like Revenge of the Sith.
No, go to the page. It's like it's a bonus area that says the last sound.
What?
What?
Go ahead. 246.
246.
Don't yell at me.
The last sound.
That's what it's under.
245. There's 247.
No, you can look to the left. The left page.
Oh. Yeah. This is going to be good.
Is this A New Hope, Tim? Right? Do you think?
It is part of the saga. I believe that this would be New Hope.
That's what I'm guessing, too.
All right. Well, my rule's always been to bet five if it's the original trilogy. So I'm going to do that and hope and pray.
Here we go.
Yeah.
God damn it.
Yeah! Oh my God, I didn't expect that.
That is
ejaculated there.
That's a murder.
Can you play that again? Because I actually talked over it. I want a nice, clean cut of that for the show.
God, yeah, I want to hear that again.
That was funny.
Oh, God. That's somebody in 1977 that got to the very front of the line and was told that we're sold out.
I'll take it.
It sounds like.
Like a lot of stuff.
And it's a man screaming, but then all of a sudden it becomes like. Yeah, it becomes like electrified or something. It sounds like maybe somebody in an alley or something recording the crate dragon scream. It sounds like the crate dragon scream, like somebody just like throwing some sounds out there and they say, we're going to take all these and layer them together and make the crate dragon yell.
Like the, I think you, yeah.
The Obi-Wan, you know, boogie, boogie, boogie yell.
Boogie, boogie, boogie.
Yeah, I think you did that. I didn't see the answer, but you got the nail on the head. I bet you we could recreate that ourselves with that recording.
Tim, what do you think? I think he got that.
Dave is 150% correct.
Really?
Yeah,
that is the raw
yells.
Raw, yeah. Who did it?
That's Matthew Wood and David Acourt in a parking lot behind the Lucasfilm Tech building.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
We screamed and screamed. I was trying to model mine off this terrible cheesy element that I love from a Disneyland ride, the Haunted Mansion.
But this has all three of the Crate Dragon, man. If we had this book when we did the Crate Dragon episode.
That was cool. That's
like the best. That's almost as good as that one.
What the hell was that? You know what I mean?
If you worked at Starbucks next door, you'd be like, what the hell's going on out there?
I want to know how they got that. If that's the raw yell, how do they do that? Woo, 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 woo,
yeah.
In there. Because that sounds electronic. I wonder if there's like some weird echo.
That was the best sound. That was the best sound yet, Dave.
Play 245.
No, because we might get those.
Yeah, never mind. Rooms.
All right, watch how hard my question will be.
Okay.
All right, you're number 91.
91 is from Empire. I don't know. It's a bounty hunter. It's Bossk. Go.
Yeah. It's the year we graduated high school, Chris.
Ah, man, those were the days.
Those were the days.
These are the days to remember. Yep. Though they will not last forever.
Oh, man, stop it. 91. I wish it was back then. Good.
These are the times.
And we know where we were then.
And
girls
it is.
Were girls and men were men.
Now that
it is.
I know that song too. Okay.
Star Wars, A New Hope.
A New Hope. I can't win. 5.
I'm like a goddamn TV themed jukebox.
Quick, Small Wonder.
She's a small wonder.
Wonder Years.
What would you say if I sang out of tune?
Happy Days.
Sunday, Monday, Happy Days. Then the rest.
Ready? Lost.
Uh-huh. What?
Lost.
Lost? Ooh.
That was good.
That was pretty good. Boom. All right. 5 points, New Hope. I lost anyway. Go.
91.
I was getting at them fucking explosions.
That's hard.
You know? This is bullshit. Tim gets free 3PO. This is seen as from Return of the Jedi. When I'm talking to you.
That's James Earl Jones after they had Thai food for lunch.
Yeah. Oh. Sorry, Carrie.
That is the Death Star exploding. I have no idea. Final answer.
What's your guess? Say it again.
The Death Star exploding.
Absolutely correct.
Hey! Are you kidding me?
Nope.
No. Great shot, kid. That was one in a million.
You son of a bitch.
Oh, my God. But don't I always get them? The gunfires, explosions.
You Vosk. Bastard.
I got five. What, I got 19?
19.
Boba Fett's spurs.
Yeah, like that kind of shit, you know?
So the scores are like this. Chris and last with 19. Then Tim with 34, then Matt with 37, and I have 44.
We need.
Oh shit!
We need. We need Dave to start fucking up.
Not gonna happen.
Dave, friend. Could you please do us a favor and start to fuck up?
No. I mean, if Dave can get, you know, that sound effect. let's all of us recreate the sound effect.
We're all going to yell at the same time?
Yeah.
We're going to cancel the two of them out.
You know what? I wish we did have this book and knew that when we did that episode, because now I hate it less.
Yep.
I actually like the story behind that sound.
Right, yeah.
I like that the two guys are out there, you know, trying to just kind of having fun with their jobs and then used all the footage to make the best thing they could out of it. You know, I suddenly like that sound a hell of a lot more than I did when we talked about that episode. I talked about it on the episode.
Yeah.
When we do the Krayt Dragon special edition episode, we'll tag that on.
Well, all right. Well, I guess thank you very much for listening to the Commander Coney CC2224. Mm. Not 227, which the theme song goes like this.
What?
That's all right. Join us next time. We discuss the Star Destroyer.
Ooh. That's actual sound from George Lucas reuniting with Carrie Fisher, like not that long ago, and she stepped on his foot.
No, I thought that was Carrie Fisher going through detox.
Thanks for listening to Star Wars in Character. Star Wars in Character is part of the NeoZaz.com network of podcasts. For more great podcasts and original entertainment, please visit www.neozaz.com. Star Wars in Character is not affiliated with nor endorsed by Lucasfilm Limited or 20th Century Fox. Star Wars and all Star Wars universe characters, places, or Star Wars-related items are the copyright of Lucasfilm Limited or their respective trademark and copyright holders. Visit www.swic.neozaz.com for the latest Star Wars in Character episodes and information.
Child.